staying with food now.
Have you seen the little piggies crawling in the dirt?
Pigs are cute, disgusting, forbidden, required, delicious, unhealthy, rare, common, lean, fat, white meat, dark meat, slow-cooked, pan-fried, big and little. They've been tempting and confounding civilization for more than 3,000 years. Tamed, domesticated pigs joined the barnyard in 1000 BC, and it's been one greasy, crispy, lean and tender meal after another ever since. There is a recipe for absolutely every part of the pig, did you know that? Especially this time of year, when the grill is hot. Mark Essig, author of Lesser Beasts, A Snout-to-Tail History of the Humble Pig, joins us. Lesser beasts, you say, Mark?
I actually took the term from a history of agriculture in which cows were given a chapter to themselves, but then the pigs were consigned to a catch-all chapter called The Lesser Beasts, even though this was a history of agriculture in the United States. And I would make a strong argument that pigs have actually been more important to the history of the U.S.
What is unusual about pork in that it has caused so much sort of controversy and consternation among the world's religions?
I think where I would start is just how useful the pig is. They reproduce incredibly quickly, far more quickly than cows or sheep. They have very large litters. They grow to the weight that they can be slaughtered and eaten much more quickly than those other animals. And most crucially, their meat cures well in salt. So that means you could keep it around for a long time, even before the era of artificial refrigeration, which is a very recent invention. That's the good side of pigs. The bad side of pigs is that they will eat anything, including incredibly disgusting things like garbage from the streets, dead animals, even human waste. For that reason, among others, pigs got the reputation of being filthy creatures, and so people who could afford to eat other things refused to eat pork. This was especially true in the ancient Near East when Judaism developed. The priests who wrote the rules handed down to us in the book of Leviticus, they were in the upper crust, and virtually nobody in the region ate pork, and so they codified the prejudice against these animals as part of religious rules. They were very concerned with purity. The pig was more or less the definition of the impure animal, so in order to remain pure, they had to avoid any contact with pigs or pork.
Why is it that pigs can eat anything and they taste the same?
Well, pigs do vary in flavor very much. For instance, what cows eat is expressed in their milk, but less so in their flesh. Whereas pigs, they lay down the fat in the same form that they consume it. So if you have a pig that eats acorns or peanuts, those are unsaturated fats. They have a very soft fat. It doesn't keep as well, but it's delicious. That's why certain Spanish hams are very expensive and very prized, because they're very soft and they taste of the acorns that the pig ate. If you had a pig that ate mostly, say, rotten fish from the fishmongers, and these are things that did happen, that would not be a very delicious type of pork.
So it would be fishy-smelling pork.
It would be a very fishy-smelly pork.
And pigs have such personality, and you talk about this. I mean, they're adorable little creatures.
They have such expressive faces. When you look, I've worked with pigs on a farm, and when you look at them, you can just tell that there is much more going on behind those eyes than tends to be the case with a cow or a sheep. And a lot of people think a lot of scientists have argued that this could relate to the diet of the pig. Pigs, like people, are omnivores. If you have a cow or a sheep, their main decision is if they see something green, they can start chewing it. Whereas if you've got a pig or a person, if they can eat anything, they're not limited to plants. But that involves a judgment. You have to know whether this new food source is safe or it's not safe.
The fact that humans in the United States are appalled by the consumption of dogs and, to a lesser extent, horses suggests that Americans in particular have some problem with animals that can be anthropomorphized, that you can imagine as pets, which would tend to disqualify pigs as food, but they're a very central part of the U.S. diet. That seems like a contradiction.
Yeah, the connection between pigs and dogs, they're deep and they go back to the beginning. For one thing, it's thought that both of them became domestic by being village scavengers. When people first settled down into villages 10,000 years ago, you get a group of people together. One of the things they do best is produce garbage. And the pigs, these were Eurasian wild boars, started lurking around the villages to devour the garbage. And gradually, a certain number of those got particularly good at this. They filled this new niche within human society and found this new source of food, and they evolved along separate lines to be able to live alongside people. And it's thought that even earlier than that, dogs were domesticated in the same way. The development of dogs as pets changed that relationship. There's no logical reason to explain why it's okay to eat a pig and it's not okay to eat a dog. Those are entirely cultural conventions.
One of the things that's interesting about pigs, distinguished from other meat sources, is that almost all meat sources, fish and beef, certainly, lamb, chicken, are valued most in their freshest form, maybe to a little lesser extent with beef. But with pork, it's almost reversed. The cured varieties of pork are maybe as popular, if not more popular, than fresh pork chops or fresh pork roast.
In part, it's a question of technique. People got very good at curing pork and making it palatable simply because there was so much of it around. The reason that pork cures so well has in part to do with it tends to be fattier, and that allows something to dry out and still stay moist, whereas beef would become more like jerky, very shoe leathery rather than soft and succulent.
And you need bacon on just about anything.
Some would make that case. Some of us would say that the cult of bacon has perhaps gone a little bit overboard over the past few years.
Mark Essig, thanks so much.
Thank you, John. Pleasure to be here.
Mark Essig is the author of Lesser Beasts, A Snout-to-Tail History of the Humble Pig.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.